Welcome to A Gram of Hope. I'm your host, Jerome Graham. Today we're going to be speaking with Ms. Lashana Alfred. She is a licensed social worker.
Yes.
And she has a master's in social work. And in today's age that we're living in, it's so important that, well the role that she has is so relevant to what we're dealing with, because a lot of people are having issues that they just don't know how to deal with. There's a heightened emphasis on depression. There's more mental health issues that are taking place. People are just suffering, and they don't they just don't know why. As a matter of fact, I would liken it that people are just broken, and it takes a social worker, it takes someone who has a concentration in mental health to help people understand how to fix what they don't understand got broken in the first place. How you doing?
I love that. I'm doing great.
All right. And we love you and what you do, because it's so, so vital. You are the originator. You are the one who put You Change Counseling together.
Yes.
Why You Change? What was the spirit that guided you in that?
Yeah. Once I realized and really seeing the transformation in my own life, I realized that, you know, we can change. And so technically the business is You Can Change, but the can is wrapped up in the change. And so we just for short say You Change.
The can is wrapped up in the change.
Yes.
It's my experience, people don't like change.
Yes.
You know, when you talk about you need to do this differently, you need to do that differently, especially when somebody gets past 25. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, when they're in their youth period, when they're in their teenage years, you expect some pushback because there is that spirit of rebellion that goes along with being in your teen years. But some people get in their adult years, life is falling apart, and they still push back against change.
Yes.
Why is that?
Wow. I believe, and what I'm seeing is that the fear of the unknown. So they end up staying comfortable or content, you know, with the where they are, you know. And so just trying to help individuals recognize that change is possible. And it's not one of those things of, okay, yeah, it's time for you to change, right? But it's like, okay, are you tired of remaining the same?
You are a social worker.
Yes.
Social workers tend to be people who get into that arena of occupation because of what they've experienced, what they've been through, and they want to help people to go down a different road than they went down.
Yeah.
Because you're trying to save someone. You know where things are going, not based upon what someone told you,
right,
but what you had to go through yourself. What are some of the things, or what guided you to get into social work as opposed to becoming a truck driver, a teacher, a nurse?
Right. Yeah, it's interesting, right? My parole officer was the one who told me I would be a good social worker. So I guess the next question is, how did I get a parole officer, right? So I was in prison in a different country. And so I was one who was raised in the heart of the inner city. You know, all I seen was drugs and, you know, crime and that type of thing. And so unfortunately, I end up taking that path. And so it was there, you know, in this third world country away from everybody that I known and my environment, I began the transformation to change. And so once I got released and brought back to America, I had a parole officer that told me that I would be a good social worker. Now, the initial thought was, wait, I probably needed a social worker when I was younger. But that's how I started the journey.
You went to another country. I would think that would have been because of the drugs and the money from the drugs allowed you to be able to go into another country. Most people don't wake up and say, you know what, I'm going to Spain today.
Right. So,
not that you went to Spain, I'm just
right. No. So I was going to a different country to actually bring it back. So it wasn't that I had the money and I just decided, hey, let me go on a vacation. You know, it wasn't that. So no, I was going there to actually make money, I guess.
You know, Lashana, what I found is that a lot of people who get into that contra society, that negative society, and they start making money from it. The money comes so fast, it comes so easy that they have a difficult time getting back out. And they also, most of them, not all of them, but a lot of them don't know how to handle money. So when they find themselves on the other side, let's say on the side of right, mm-hmm. they can't really adjust because money came so easy. It came so fast.
Yeah.
They really never developed the skills on how to handle finance.
Yeah.
Have you found that with the people that you have been dealing with, or because of us having access to Google and a lot more social media, that maybe people are becoming more aware of how to handle finances, or is still the same old nature where I got this big money, I got this money, you can't tell me anything because I got my money, I know how to make money fast, mm-hmm. and I'm not worried about how to handle my money.
Right, right. I see that in order to make that transition, that it's a mindset shift that must take place, right? And so once you decide to get out of a lifestyle where the money was coming fast, it's going to require that same, like that mindset shift to do that, which also incorporates how we manage our finances. And so I think there's a lot as it relates to social media. There are a lot of information, you know, that help individuals with, you know, finances and understanding the mindset behind business. However, we have to, it's definitely some internal work that has to take place as it relates to that change in itself.
When it comes to the people that you're dealing with, mm-hmm. are men or women easier to get to guide into the light?
Oh, that is so interesting. Based on the work that I do, what I notice is that it's more situational, right? So not necessarily gender specific. What it boils down to really is, you know, the pain that one experiences. When the pain, you know, gets of remaining the same, you know, outweighs the pain of change or the fear of change, right? Then change begins to occur, whether you're male or female.
You know, speaking of change, I'm reminded of the old story about a man. He heard a noise and he was walking down the road and saw that this dog was keeping up all this noise. And he asked the guy who was sitting on the porch, he said, "What's wrong with your dog?" The dog, he said, "Dog laying on the nail." He said, "Well, why don't he just get up?" And the man said, "It don't hurt bad enough."
I promise.
How far down do people have to get before it hurts bad enough? And let me back up. How long have you been in the social work arena?
Yeah, I graduated with my master's in 2009. And so I've been doing this work for a really long time, working with individuals in addiction and mental health.
So what gets people to the point? How much do they have to lose? Because, see, for me, the moment I steal my mama's purse, that hurts bad enough.
Mm-hmm.
Some people have to lose their home
right.
before it hurts bad enough.
Right.
Is there any way to gauge, or as you said earlier, is it situational?
Yeah, it really is situational. Everybody's bottom is different. So that's a term that you'll hear in people in addiction where they say, "I reached my bottom." And the problem is right when they thought they reached their bottom, like the last thing, the last bankruptcy, the last divorce, they realize that the bottom can't get deeper, you know. And I think as I'm working with individuals, it's really helping them be consistent, right? Consistent in the change, consistent in the process, right? And using the skills. Because in this microwave age that we're in, individuals want change to happen really quickly. And so they get discouraged when they're not seeing the change, you know, immediately, right? And so then that bottom drops again. And right when they thought the last, you know, season or the last event was the bottom, something else happens, right? Because the change hasn't happened quick enough.
Do you get frustrated? You know, it's like, as a child, my mother would say, "I'm going to whoop you till you get it right." Or, "I'm sick and tired of telling you the same thing." You're dealing with adults in most cases.
Yes.
Does it get frustrating when you see the person walk in 8 months later, same situation, same circumstance, and it's like you just told them what to do?
Mm-hmm. I notice my frustration is with like maybe my staff, because in some ways in my mind I'm thinking, you know better, you know, with individuals coming into my office, this may be their first time. So I try not to put a timeline, you know, on that, right? And so at the end of the day, because what I teach, I apply in my own life. And so I can tell if a person is actually applying it, because some change is guaranteed to happen, right? Like, you can't keep taking a step forward and not move from the place that you were in when you first started. It's virtually impossible. And so if I'm not seeing change, I'm always going back to, are you actually applying it, or have you just got comfortable sitting in my office?
Well, now, if your office is a place of peace, if for 30, 45 minutes, I don't have to deal with anxiety of the world, I'm gonna make another appointment as quick as I can, because sometimes people get so much on them that it gets, they're just looking for any place of calm that they can find.
Yes.
And sometimes it's sitting down with your therapist for just a little while so that the demons in your mind will calm down for a little while. In the culture that we're living in now, as of the time that we're talking, we've got major wars in the world. We've got a heightened suicide rate. We've got a heightened rate of anxiety because people are dealing with social pressures. The influence of social media seems to be influencing people to go down a negative road. In your industry, is anyone talking about what we are going to do 2 years or a year from now to change the direction that things seem to be going in? And I liken it back to when COVID hit. That depressed so many people and caused so many people to have conflict in their lives. And the space that they had to operate in became significantly smaller.
Yeah.
It closed in real fast because you couldn't go very far at all. So it led to a heightened sense of depression, anxiety. And I just, it seems like some of that is coming back without the cold virus.
Yeah.
So are you guys talking about what do we need to do to prepare people for what's pending?
Yeah. So, of course, the industry that I work in is mental health, right? And so a lot of agencies, they get insurance payments for clients who are seeking mental health services. And so one of the things I really want everybody to understand is that mental health does not have a color, right? And so it doesn't matter whether you're white, black, Hispanic, you know, blue, red, whatever the case may be. A lot of people are being impacted by lack of accessibility to mental health services. And so what the talk now is, how do we reverse things so individuals are not in threat of losing their insurance? Because what's going to happen is the high rate of depression and anxiety is going to go up, and then people are not going to have not just access to resources, but they're not going to have the money to actually, you know, obtain, right, the resource, because we're going to be here. You know, we're going to be here ready, you know, boots on the ground, ready to help individuals who are suffering with mental health and, you know, depression and anxiety. And so we're talking, we're having these conversations and encouraging people to write letters, you know, and let their voice be heard. And that's what's happening now. I just really want everybody to understand, if we change how, you know, Medicaid or, you know, the insurance are paying for individuals' mental health services, we're going to see more people that need mental health services.
I need help. I'm not sure who to trust. So if I go to YouChange website, is that your webpage?
Yes. Yes.
What am I going to see?
Yeah, when you go to UChange website, you'll see our team. So it's UChangeLLC.com. You'll see our team. You'll see the services that we provide. If you go to LashanaAlfred.com, then that's where you'll see the yearly events that I do. I do a yearly event entitled The Unveiling. And so that's where it's Lashana bringing counseling to the stage. I did that in an effort to help individuals take the mask off, because there's a lot of individuals suffering in silence. And so that's why I do this yearly conference, where individuals who cannot pay for therapy, right? Individuals who may not believe in counseling because it's taboo. Maybe their family told them that seeking a therapist was crazy or anything like that. This is Lashana bringing counseling to the stage in an effort to minimize the stigma off of mental health and help people become free, right? Taking the mask off. And I do that yearly.
Does it help when people who have a like circumstance, a like situation, does it really help them to come together in a room? Do they open up at that point?
Yes, I see a lot. I was on last year when we promoted, or a couple years ago, an individual who hadn't been out the house. This is her testimony. Hadn't been out the house in years. Like, her husband would go out for her, but when she seen us, advertising the event, she received a free ticket. And so she came to the event in the room of all of these people. And she just, her testimony is that she just felt free, right? Hadn't been out the house. And she didn't even know if she was going to make it, right? And so those are the testimonies that keep me doing it year after year, to really reach as many people as we can to help them get free from the bondage in their mind.
Conflict. There used to be a term, conflict resolution.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't heard that in quite a while. And I still see conflict.
Mm-hmm, right.
And as I understood conflict resolution when it was introduced, it was a method to help young people be able to deal with anxiety or conflict between them and another person, as opposed to shooting that person or cutting or jumping on that person. So it was another method. It was another tool in the toolbox of being able to interact with someone without getting violent.
Yes.
Do we still have conflict resolution?
So the conflict resolution that we have now is wrapped up in anger management, right? And so what's happening is people are really seeking anger management services, but what we're teaching them is conflict resolution, right? How do you begin to, resolve conflict? Some people try to run away from it. Some people face it head on in this fight type of response. And so the conflict resolution that we're seeing now is wrapped up in, the anger management courses that's out there.
I'm seeing, this has been in the news, where the police has come into a kindergarten, first grade, second, third grade room and arrested a student.
Yeah.
You see kindergartners,
yeah,
talking back.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm old enough to remember, if you talk back to an adult, the next thing that had to happen, this old gang term, you had to run the gauntlet. In other words, you get paddled by the principal, you might get paddled by the teacher, you got paddled by your mother.
Mm-hmm.
And she didn't use a paddle.
Right.
She used a switch, extension cord, rope, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then if grandparents were around, you got it again. So you had to go through this whole gauntlet of people that helped with your course correction. They, mm-hmm, as that movie Cool Hand Luke said, they help get your mind right.
Right.
What are we doing with the kindergartners, first grade, second grade? Because what we want to do is, I'm sure, is catch this thing early, as opposed to let it fester and get to where it's out of hand. And kids are a lot bigger than what they used to be.
Yes.
So you're about a fifth or sixth grade, they might be 6 feet wearing size 14 shoes.
Right.
So how do we get this thing in check before it gets out of place? I guess the term that I've heard is violence preparedness.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if that's getting the kids right or if it's getting the adults ready for the kids to be able to deal, mm-hmm, with the kids.
Mm-hmm. So this is interesting, right? So I have a a take on this in the aspect of, I believe that behavior is learned. Right. And so the kids, where are they getting this from? Right. And so if they can't get away with it at home, they're going to find somewhere else to get away with it, even though they know that they may get in trouble. Right. And so it's learned behavior. And so we have to begin to see, what are our children exposed to? Is it the video games that sometimes have a lot of violence in it? Is it the drama that's going on and the trauma that's going on in the home? Is it the neighborhood? So a lot of times we're trying to whoop, spank, punish, you know, that kindergartner. But it's like, OK, wait, this is what I'm seeing. I'm seeing mom or dad respond out of anger when somebody doesn't do something they like, when I don't do something they like. So now I'm in school and my peers don't do something I like, so now I'm ready to hit them, you know. So it's learned behavior. So we have to begin to watch how we are, you know, modeling in front of our kids, because they're not just growing up or coming out the womb, you know, hitting people. You know, it really is learned behavior. And the other thing is, we're putting too much on our teachers. Well, I believe in the schools, you know, the teachers are there to teach, right? And so trying to get them to teach a curriculum and do some behavior modification is absolutely difficult, you know, for them to do. And they didn't go to school for that. So we need to find a way to seamlessly blend, right, like social work, counseling, into that educational system.
You know, you hit on something that's key, and I don't think I ever thought about it. The teacher is there to teach, but then society expects them to do behavior modification.
Yeah.
And that is, they're there as the math teacher, the spelling teacher, but they're not there as the social worker or the psychological
exactly
element within the classroom. So that is putting a lot on our, especially since, now this is my observation, mm-hmm. a lot of our teachers are different themselves. They're coming out of environments where there's a lot of external influences that they bring to
yes.
the building with them.
Yes.
So they need someone to talk to. It's not like that old teacher with the glasses hanging exactly. off the nose and the hair in the bun. And yes. it's a different teacher nowadays.
Yes.
So that is placing a lot of responsibility
yes.
on that individual.
Absolutely. And when I teach something on, when I'm teaching staff development and individuals who actually work with the youth, I talk to them about a word called precipitating factors.
Say
right?
that again.
Precipitating factors. So precipitating factors are those things that may have happened before they ever encountered you. So think about a student that's coming into class and they just heard gunshots. So they really didn't even get sleep, right? They may not have even eaten. Maybe their parents was arguing, or their mom in a domestic violence relationship. Now you want this fifth grader, you want this third grader to sit in this classroom and be focused, right? And so now, and then when you're talking about the teachers, we have teachers who may be in relational issues. And so now they don't have the tolerance to deal with, you know, the behaviors of the students. And so it's a lot of precipitating factors that's happening, that's influencing what we're seeing in our communities and society today.
Someone needs you to come and talk to their group about that
mm-hmm.
or other external factors that their group may be dealing with from a mental health perspective or a societal perspective. How do they get in touch with you?
Yeah, they can call the office at 419-214-9366. They can reach out to us on the website, LashanaAlfred.com. But the best way, they can really just call the office, 419-214-9366.
Your event that you've been doing for going on 3 years, it's
yes.
called The Unveiling?
Yes.
Why The Unveiling?
Why The Unveiling? Again, because it gives the opportunity for individuals to be in a room with like-minded people, to realize that it's okay to not be okay, but it's not okay to stay not okay, right? So you're in a room with people who just like, okay, you know what? We're okay. We're perfectly imperfect in this time. We're all going through the challenges of life, and we're learning how to navigate it together.
All right. Well, we're just about out of time. So I tell you what I'd like to do. Give any last thoughts that you have, especially if it's going to fix the brain.
Yeah, yeah.
But any last thoughts that you have, and give the web contact and your telephone number one more time.
Yeah. So the last thoughts, if you are a listener and you are feeling stuck in life, if you're feeling stuck in a relationship, feeling stuck on a job, feeling stuck as a leader, there is help. There is help. And I encourage you to reach out to You Change by calling 419-214-9366 or going to our website. You can go to youchangellc.com or LashaunaAlford.com. And just remember, change is absolutely possible and transformation is assured.
I want to thank you, LaShauna, for coming on.
Yes.
Thank you for being part of this broadcast. And I want to thank you for listening. I'm your host and producer, Jerome Graham. Our executive producer is Chris Piper. If you have any questions, comments, or you just want to listen again, go to WGTE.org/hope.
WGTE, voices around us.